Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Chariot Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour of River York, Texas. Today is December 25, 2017, August Seabed 8, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but there. I shall never get sight of the gates of life if the clay of the cross I met. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know that onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb in the heart sublime, where the soul is a home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. And I bid farewell in the way of the world to walk in it nevermore. For my Yahshua's has come. And I seek my home, for he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Now, Holy One, Part 2. Let's go to Isaiah, chapter 3. Let's go to Isaiah, chapter 3. And continue our series. We're going to... let's pick up in Isaiah, chapter 2. Let's go to verse 20. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, unto the moles and to the bats. Isaiah 30:22. There's a cross reference on that. Let's flip to that right quick and read that. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. And in Exodus 20, verse 4, it talks about that also. When they were coming out of Egypt, let's go and turn to that right quick. It says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Yahshua, thy Redeemer, am a jealous Savior, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And it was obvious that they hated him at the cross. They hated him while he was ministering. For 3.5 years unto the world, to his people. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And those that were his enemies, that were not predestined to be a part of him, they hated him. And so, whenever false brethren would get in and take over the congregation of Israel, they would also end up hating the true ones. It says in Exodus 20, verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, we've got a thing on in the world today. We got a movement on, and we have to got to get our message out there to the world. And we got to show the multitude that in order to be saved, those that are preordained and those that are planning on and wanting to be saved, they're going to have to be shown the way. And then they will know that they're the ones that Yahweh is going to show mercy through His Son unto them that love to Me. It says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Me and keep My commandments. Well, now, is Moses quoting Yahweh the Father here? Or is he quoting Yahshua the Son? Well, all you have to do is go to John 15:10 and find out in the New Testament who is he quoting. John 15:10 says, "If you keep," this is Yahshua talking in his own words here. It's written in red letters, showing this is Yahshua talking. In John 15:10, "If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." What were the Father's commandments? We know that He and the Son are co-authors of all the commandments, starting with the Ten. What was Yahweh's commandments that Yahshua says that I obeyed My Father's commandments? Well, if you go and read what Yahshua said about the Father, He said, "The Father, whatsoever He commanded Me, I did always those things that please Him, and the words that I speak are His words." So whatever Yahshua commanded the people, it was from the Father. The Father commanded it first, but He commanded His Son to execute the word. It's just that pure and simple. So when Yahshua said there in John 15, He says, "If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full," or "that might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than that a man laid down his life for his friend. You are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Okay, now we go back to Isaiah, and we turn quickly back to Isaiah chapter 2. Then it says, let's go to Isaiah chapter 3 now. Verse 1. "For behold the Yahshua of the host, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, 'Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand,' in that day shall he swear, saying, 'I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people.'" Okay, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Yahshua, to provoke the eyes of His glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them." and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye unto the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of my paths. Okay. And it says, for the Yahshua standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Yahshua will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Yahshua Messiah, or the Yahshua Savior of the host? This is the Son speaking, and Micah 2:2-3 confirms this. I'll say Micah, Micah 2:2-3. Let's go to that right quick. It says, And they covet fields, and let's read verse 1, Micah 2. Woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. Oh, isn't this something? Okay. It says, and they covet fields, and take them by violence and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. What did Ahab do? He coveted his neighbor's vineyard. And he wanted it at any cost and any way he could get it. And when he couldn't have it, he went and he moped about it. And his wife Jezebel, that evil queen, that heathen, she came and she told Ahab, get up off that bed and become merry in heart, because I will deliver that vineyard to you by tomorrow. And she did. She had the man that owned it killed upon false charges. Okay, Micah 2, verse 3. Therefore thus saith Yahshua, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks, neither shall you go heartily, for this time is evil. What family is he talking about? He talks about that family where the leader devised iniquity and worked evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. Avertis Johnson practiced exactly what he believed to be the truth, according to his own interpretation, because it was in the power of his hand to do so. And he did it. And he wouldn't listen to anybody that was contrary to that. So it says in Micah 2, verse 3, therefore thus saith to Yahshua, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which they, ye shall not remove your necks. Neither shall ye go hardly, for this time is evil. Verse 4, and that they shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He has changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turned away, he hath divided our field. Therefore thou shalt have done that they shalt have done that shall cast the cord by the lot in the congregation of the Yahshua. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob. Okay. Well, okay, this is talking about Gilead Center. Did you know Gilead Center was the only house of Israel, of the Adventist, spiritual Israel today? It was the only house that was named the House of Jacob. The House of Jacob, Mount Carmel was named the House of Carmel. And Mount, well, it was named the House of Israel and Mount Carmel. Bashan was named the House of Israel and Mount Bashan. And, but the one in Mount Gilead, Brother Johnson, was named the House of Jacob, because it's the one that produced the twin sons, Esau and Jacob. In our day, the spiritual twin sons, Esau and Jacob, were produced by Gilead Center, the Mount Gilead. And so therefore you had the House of Jacob come into being in 1970 at Gilead Center. So it says, O thou that art named the House of Jacob, Gilead Center, is the spirit of the Yeshua straightened? Question mark. Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And the Gilead Center is the only one that was taught how to walk uprightly by the Spirit. And that Yahweh put his spirit in that place. He put his mind in the prophet, Gilead Center, brothers. And he says, now, teach my people my government, and I will give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I'll put my mind in you so that you'll be able to reproduce my timetable by a creation calendar. And you'll be able to do it according to the astronomical calculation of the sun, the moon, the stars in the heavens. And that way you will teach my people how to walk circumspectly according unto the laws of the sanctuary, according to the way Jeremiah told him about there in Jeremiah 31, about, he says, the ordinances of the sun, the moon, and the stars, okay, that governs the sanctuary service here on earth, according to the true timetable. And so this is all given to the House of Jacob at Kermit, Texas, 1970. It wasn't given to the House of Israel, Mount Carmel, Shepherd Rod, 1930 to 1970. No, that wasn't given. Wasn't given to Bashan from 1850 to 1890, the Seventh-day Adventist proper. Wasn't given to them. It was only given to the antitypical House of Jacob. And incidentally, at the time that it was called the House of Jacob, it was also called the Sinful Kingdom by Amos. Amos chapter 9 also called it the Sinful Kingdom. And that's pretty interesting. When you go and read Amos chapter 9, it says that, starting at verse 1, I saw the Yeshua standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Well, we had a judgment situation that took place at Kermit in 2002-2003, and this very scene was reenacted there. It says in Amos 9, verse 2, though they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up into heaven, it says up to heaven, yeah, they get up to the gates of heaven like Lucifer did with his angels after the resurrection. He went back to heaven to follow Yahshua to heaven, and he got to the gates of heaven, and they wouldn't let him in. And then Michael, the son, and his angels had to fight against Lucifer and his angels. Were they inside the gate or outside the gate of heaven? Yeah, that war took place outside the gate of heaven, because Lucifer and his angels couldn't get in the gate, so Michael come and met him at the gate, Michael went out the gate with his angels, and he fought against Lucifer and his angels outside the border's wall. What did Nehemiah say to those Jews that kept coming up on the Sabbath after they repaired the wall and raised it up there after their 70-year captivity of Judah? And they, Cyrus gave a decree that Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel, the governor of Judea, should go back and repair the city and build a wall once again around it. What did Jeremiah say to those traffickers? They were kinfolks to the Judaites, kept coming upon the Sabbath and lollygagging around the wall, bringing their wares to sell on the Sabbath. And Nehemiah says, You come once again on the Sabbath, and I'll lay hands on you. And they came no more to the wall. So they could only come to the gate. They could come to the wall, but they couldn't come in because they had a wall around the city. They had gates that they could lock, and they had sentinels, watchmen upon the walls. And so when they would report people coming up to the wall on the outside, they would report it to the boss, and the boss would say, okay, you come again, and I'll lay hands on you. Well, did you know Lucifer, for 4,000 years, after he caused Adam and Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden, for 4,000 years he was allowed to come in and out those gates in heaven. He was allowed to come in and out for 4,000 years. But after he helped the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans crucify Yahshua and put him to death, then there was no more place found for him in heaven. It says so there in John chapter 12. It says no place more found in him, and he was cast out. And Revelation chapter 9 says he was cast out onto and into the earth. And so when he came to the gates of the city after Yahshua's resurrection, he didn't have no more passport to come in and out. So, there was no more place found in heaven for him to ridicule the brethren and accuse the brethren day and night, because he wasn't allowed to dwell there anymore. And he wasn't ever allowed to go back to the gates of the city again. He was bound to with a chain to this earth. And so, when was Lucifer actually bound in chains here on this earth? After the crucifixion. After he tried to go back to heaven. That's when he was cast down. Okay. So it says, once again, Amos chapter 9, verse 2, though they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Yahshua Messiah of the host is the Yahshua Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of the host, is he that touches the Lamb, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up holy like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yahshua is his name. And you go back to Amos 5:8, and it kind of confirms that a little earlier. It says, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the dark day with the night. That calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yahshua is his name. And then you back up to Amos chapter 4 and read verse 13. It says that, For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high place of the earth, the Yahshua, Savior of the host is his name. Or the Redeemer of his host, or the Ransom of his host. He can put several words in there, so that means the same thing. Okay, now we go back to Amos 9, verse 7. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith Yahshua, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? Now here it is right here, Yahshua. And the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Kerr. Okay, behold, the eyes of Yahshua, Messiah, are upon the sinful kingdom. And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith Yahshua. So what's the sinful kingdom? The sinful kingdom is Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, that followed all the way down through the ages. And those that was taken over by Babylon, and those that voluntarily agreed to join Babylon, like the Adventists did in 1890, our Adventist leaders, the General Conference leaders, they agreed to join Babylon. It was Jesuit Catholics that was in charge of it in 1890. And so that's what Yahshua is talking about, or Yahweh is talking about, the Father. He says, I'm going to destroy that sinful kingdom. One kingdom that has a charge of the seven heads that belongs and identifies Israel, seven mountains, there in Revelation chapter 1. So this sinful kingdom of Israel that has apostatized and joined Babylon, they're called the sinful kingdom. And that's what the Gilead Center did. That's the reason why Yahshua had to come in 2002 and said, come out from among and be ye separate, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And that was a call that was given to those that was signed and crowned against the abomination being done in the midst of. And so Yahshua come and address those that were signed and crowned for the abomination. He says, come out from among them. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. And we might go and read that right quick. It's 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Yahshua with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Elohim, as Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahshua, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Now here it is right here. Here's the scripture that I have referred to so many times and couldn't quite put my finger on it. But this is where Yahshua is speaking here. He says, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahshua. That says the Lord Almighty here. Okay, maybe it is indeed talking about the Father, but whenever he uses the word God, title God, it's usually talking about the Father. The translators seem to use that to refer to the Father. But let's just call that the Father until we get more clarification on this here Father unto you. And so let's go to Isaiah 52:11 now, and let's read that right quick. Isaiah 52:11. It says that, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Yahshua. Now it's talking about Yahshua here. Lord in upper and lower cases refer to the Son. And it says, gives us a cross reference here of 2 Corinthians 6:17. So that is kind of a confusing situation, but I believe that after all, 2 Corinthians 6:17 is referring to the Son, saying, I will be a father unto you. Okay. So it says in Isaiah 52:13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. Who is his servant? His servant David. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at him, at thee, his visage was so marred. This is actually talking about Yahshua the Son. So, because he says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. For this is Yahweh the Father talking about his son, Yahshua. Because it says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred. And we know this is talking about Yahshua there in Isaiah 53. More than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, for the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Okay. And so now in Romans 15:21, it's talking about that. It says that, but as it is written, unto whom it was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Okay. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come unto you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Yahushua to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Yahushua. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in the carnal thing. And therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you and into Spain, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Yahshua. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Yahshua Messiah, for the Yahshua Savior Messiah's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers unto Yahweh for me. Okay, so this is talking about unto God, which is Yahweh the Father. Okay, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Okay, so those that don't believe in the story of Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of Yahweh, and may with you be refreshed. Now the Elohim of peace be with you all. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah now, chapter 3, and see where we're at. And Isaiah, verse 16, moreover, the Yahshua said, because of the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Yahshua will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Yahshua will discover their secret parts, and that day the Yahshua will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round towers like the moon, talking about their hats, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings, and nose jewels. Huh. They had nose jewels back then, and I guess they've got nose jewels again today. The changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crispin pan, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, they shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. The men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. Okay. The spiritual warfare is talking about here. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Let's go read there in Ephesians a little bit more about this warfare that we're going to have to be engaged in these last days. It's a spiritual warfare, no doubt. And it's talking about that. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, let's see if we can get to it here. Therefore, the prisoner of Yeshua must I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of the peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Yeshua, one faith, one baptism, one God here. Now this is that use of that pagan title God, G-O-D. And Father of all. So the translators, when they use that word God, they're talking about the Father, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of the Yeshua. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. What does that mean, the lower parts of the earth? That means the grave. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, of all heavens now, the 12 heavens that belong to our 12 planets in our solar system, represented by the 12 sons of Jacob. That he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahshua, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, I added that, and of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in the love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Yahshua, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according unto the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify unto Yeshua, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Yahweh, through the ignorance, being alienated from the life of, it says the life of God here, as I said, but actually this should read, alienated from the life of the Yahshua, because that word life really goes with Yahshua's statements there in John, for instance, 14. Verse 6, it said, Yahshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, in order to be consistent here, we would need to then refer that to Yahshua. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Yahshua, the Son, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Well, they truly proved to be blind unto Yahshua when he was here on earth, those that were of the synagogue of Satan, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they certainly had established themselves in the authoritarian role and sitting upon the throne of Moses, it says there in Matthew 23, and they guarded that throne, and Yahshua wasn't allowed to sit upon that throne. So Yahshua had to create the throne of David, or restore the throne of David unto the house of Israel with his disciples. Because the throne of David had been also thrown down at the cross. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness for the working all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Yahshua, if so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in the Yahshua. Okay. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, that's what Yahshua and Yahweh the Father is trying to do with the house of Israel, with the house of Jacob at Kermit, Texas. He was trying to get a renewal in our minds, and I was a part of that. And he tried to get it in 1888 at the Minneapolis Conference with the messengers of Jonathan Wagner bringing a brand new message, Righteousness by Faith. And the main leadership of the General Conference rose up against it. And they caused most of the Adventists to reject it. So he could renew the spirit in their mind. And in 1970, he tried to get the Shepherd Rod to come on and renew their spirit. And the only ones that did was the Brother Study Johnson and family, and a few other families followed with him. They renewed their spirit. They got a renewal of their spirit, and started off real good in 1970, but then they soon faded away, and they had to be called upon again for the new house of Israel, the daughter of Zion, to renew their spirit. And that's who we are. And that you look here in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in the righteousness and true holiness. See, we didn't have true righteousness, and we didn't have the true holiness. And righteousness by faith people in 1888, they had true righteousness and true holiness, those that accepted fully the Jones and Wagner's message of righteousness by faith in 1888-1890. They had true righteousness and holiness, as long as they embraced all the present truth that was shown to them. And that's the only way you can have true righteousness and true holiness in any generation, in any movement. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place unto the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give unto him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for the Yahshua's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:12-13. Okay, that ends Ephesians chapter 5, and I think I want to go now to Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Yahshua, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of Yahshua. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters, according unto the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the singleness of your heart, as unto Yahshua. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Yahshua, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart. With good will, doing service as Yahshua, and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of Yeshua, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect to persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yeshua, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. Above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. YAHSPEL, gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Yeshua, shall make known unto you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be unto the brethren, and love with faith from Yahweh the Father and Yeshua Messiah. Grace be with all them that love our Savior Yeshua the Messiah and the sincerity. That's Paul, final address to the Ephesians. Now we go back to Isaiah chapter 3. It says, let's go to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of Yahshua be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Yerushalayim from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by the day, and the shine of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm, and from the rain. Okay, what do we get out of that? Verse 1, Isaiah 4, review. In that day, seven women, meaning all congregations, complete church system of Israel, shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, take away our reproach. So they're going to take a hold of the prophet. One man is going to be Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament. This is the one that they're going to take a hold of. In that day shall the branch of the Yeshua be beautiful. What is that branch? That is the righteous branch that's raised up under David there in Jeremiah 23. And we might have heard him read that from verse 1 through 5. It says, "Woe be unto the pastors," that's your Seventh-day Adventist ministers, "today, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Yeshua. Therefore thus saith Yeshua, King of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yeshua. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their foes, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, and neither shall they be lacking, saith Yeshua. Behold, the day is come, saith Yeshua, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch." Meaning he's going to raise up a purified house of Israel with the name branch unto David. David, the house of David. "And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Okay? So this king is going to be antithetical David. It says so there in Hosea chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. It says so right there in Hosea. We might turn and read that and see what we've got there in Hosea chapter 3. It says, "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yeshua their Savior and David their king, and shall fear the Yeshua and his goodness in the latter days." So what is this goodness? This is a purified house of David with 144,000. This is what they're going to be looking forward to finding and meeting and joining up with. Okay, so now we go back to Isaiah once again. We go to Isaiah chapter 4. And let's see what they have there. It says in verse 3, "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion," okay, that's the Zion that is called, the Adventist Church overall is called the Zion of today. And so there's a judgment that comes to her when her three feeding pastures are over, and that happened in 2002. And the judgment started at the ancient men for the house. It started with the leadership there at Gilead Center in 2002. And those that was left was called the remnant. They were called the wave sheaf of the house of David. "And he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." Okay. So everyone that's left now, after this judgment starts, when the judgment is finished in the house of Israel, Ezekiel 9 finishes it, "When the Yeshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion," that is Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, "and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment," Ezekiel 9, "and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yeshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion," that's your every dwelling place, starting with the 12 tribes of Israel. They have their 12 local exact boundaries again set, and they're reassembled in their own land with new boundary lines drawn. That's Ezekiel chapter 48 points that out. "And upon her assemblies, a cloud of smoke by day, and the shine of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain." And so we'll go and finish our sermon now with Isaiah chapter 25. Let's see what it has to say there. O Yahweh, thou art our my Elohim. I will exalt thee. Actually, this is talking about, Isaiah is talking about the Holy One of Israel, Yahshua. So, O Yahshua, thou art my Savior. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Okay. So what does it say that in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Okay. For thou hast made of a city and heap of a defense city, a ruin, a place, a palace of the strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shalt the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength unto the poor, a strength unto the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, and the blast of the terrible ones as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of the strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Yahshua the host make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things, full of marrow, and wines on the lees, well refined. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahshua Messiah will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be he take away from off all the earth. For the Yahshua has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Savior, Yahshua. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua Messiah. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And David talked about that in Psalms chapter 20, verse 5. David talked about that way back there. Let's go to Psalms chapter 20 and read that, if we can get to it right quick. It says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Now, this is David talking to Yahshua, the Savior. And in the name of our Yahweh, we will set up our banners. The Yahshua will fulfill all thy petitions. Now know that the Yahshua saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Okay. This brings a close to our study. This is our contact at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Church in the Wildwood. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, no lovelier spot in the pen. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the fen. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the fields. Oh, church is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the fields. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the tree where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the fields. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the fields. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the fair. No spot is so dear to my childhood There's a little brown church in the fair, from the church in the valley by the harbor, when day fades away into night, I refrain from the spot of my childhood. Wing my way to the mountains of light. Oh, come to the church in the harbor. Oh, come to the church in the vale.